Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministry. We're talking about curses and blessings this week. Let's come to the Heavenly Father and praise Him. Lord, we praise You and thank You and worship You for the many wonderful blessings of life. We thank You for the Word of God. May You reveal it to us this week, Father, as we read it and study it and heed it. Lord, I'm so grateful for the mighty Word of the living God. Now, Lord, as the Word goes out today, I ask You to reveal it to Your people, that they may learn what causes sickness and disease and devastating things to happen in their life. Lord, may You reveal the Word to them so they can repent and turn from their wicked ways so that they may be blessed instead of cursed. And so I thank You and praise You for the privilege to teach Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, we're talking about curses and blessings this week. Now then, yesterday I had just ended on the part of Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. And I want to read that verse to you again that the prophet Hosea prophesied upon Israel. Listen to what he said in verse 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Now, even though Israel had paid tribute to Assyria, that would not buy her security. For Israel remained under a curse because of her calf worship. Now, likewise, anyone under a curse cannot escape through human ingenuity. Now, let me give you a couple examples here. When sickness and disease are due to a curse, no science, no doctor, nothing that man can do will cure that person. In other words, if sickness and disease, so many times I've been to so many hospitals with people and find out that their problem is due to a sin, and you absolutely cannot get that person healed until you find that sin, get their sin repented of, and get them to walk holy before God. And after they've repented, then sometimes you pray for them, you get them healed instantly. It is so wonderful to learn these things, that no curse comes upon you undeserved. Also that no blessing comes upon you unless you've been obedient. Now then, that's something really wonderful to learn about sickness and disease, that it demands that you walk holy before God, or you will not be able to walk in divine health. Now then, here is an area that so many people in the church just does not believe. But when the tithe is withheld, there will be a curse upon one's resources, and no amount of planning and toil will curb the devourer. I don't know how many people in the church call me and say, Brother Thurman, or Pastor Thurman, or whatever they want to call me, I need a financial miracle. My first question to you is, are you going to church? And sometimes they say yes. I say, are you tithing? Most of the time they say no. Or most of the time they'll say, well, I try. I tithe when I can. No, if you give even a tithe when you can, that is not tithing. Tithing is 10% of all of your resources coming in to you as a person working for someone. If you make $100 a week, then you owe God $10 of that $100. If you make $500 in a week, that's your gross pay, you owe God $50 of that. You owe Him 10% of it. Now then, you say, I cannot tithe. I don't have enough money. Well, then you won't never have enough money, because God is the one that made these rules. I didn't make them, but I certainly have to fall in this category. So by falling in this category, God promises to meet all of our needs. So the best thing to do is go ahead and give Him that 10% and praise Him and thank Him for doing it. If that curse comes up on your resources, and it will, absolutely no amount of planning and toil will curb the devourer. I don't care what you try to do. You cannot have enough money to get by if you do not do what God says. That's just the way life is. Now then, But we can think of people who have robbed God in tithes and offering, and they still have wealth. Yes, I have seen that, but let me read you another scripture in Malachi 2. But as God said through Malachi, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Malachi 2:2. No, God is not mocked. Even one's wealth can become a curse. Listen to Malachi 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, so you do not lay it to heart. Now, isn't that amazing, the statement that God made there? He will curse even your blessing. Now, who's going to do that? God said he would. Now, he will send the enemy against you if you will be disobedient. Now then, let me confirm this on the tithing business in Malachi 3:8. It says, will a man rob God? Now, no man in his right mind would rob God. But he says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you, Lord? And his answer is, in tithes and offerings. And then look at verse 9. And because you have robbed me in tithes and offerings, you, now you can put your name right there, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now that's just about where we are today in this nation. And the thing about it is, it's not that the nation that we're concerned about. It's the church. We know the people that are out of the church are not going to tithe. They wouldn't give God anything. But the thing about it is, the tithing is to come from the body of Christ. If you are a believer in Christ, you need to be in church every Sunday somewhere, and 10% of your gross income needs to go to some ministry of the Lord. Now make sure that ministry is a ministry that you're getting fed from. Are you learning good things about God's Word? Or once in a while they're stepping on your toes, showing you that you need to change some things and walk in a more holy and perfect way before God. If you're going to a church that does not feed you, does not tell you what God's requirements are, and does not tell you that you need to live holy before God, then you might ought to start asking God to provide you with the right church, because you need to make sure that you're hearing God's word. Now then, if you'd have a pastor, and I had one time, that absolutely refused to preach on tithing, and unfortunately he had a PhD from the seminary. And that's what really made me, that, you know, just struck me so strange. When I asked him to preach on tithing, he said, absolutely not. He said, it's too controversial. I will not preach on it. And there's not anything at all controversial about Malachi 3:8-9. There's not anything controversial at all about Matthew 23:23. So, if God said it, that settles it. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or I believe it or anything else. I've heard lots of people say, well, God said it and I believe it and that settles it. Well, let me tell you, that's not true. If God said it, it's settled. That's what you're going to be judged around. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. It is a done deal if God said it. So if God said you're supposed to tithe, then I suggest you tithe. Otherwise, you'll just pay the consequences. It doesn't bother God. He knows what you're doing. He's keeping very, very good records. He has an angel assigned to you that's writing down everything you say, everything you do, everything, even the attitude of your heart, because the Lord says in his word, he loves a cheerful giver. So when you're giving your money into his kingdom, there's an angel writing down even your attitude. Lord, he gave this with a willing heart, or he gave it grudgingly. So, if you gave it grudgingly, you might as well have not given it, because you're going to fall under a curse anyway. So, the main thing about it is, stop sinning, Start doing what God says. Tithe. Go to church. Worship and praise the King. And break all the curses and get out from under them. Now then, this law number four, where sin remains, the curse remains. Now, when I got a hold of this, when I really began to get a hold of this, this totally forever changed my life. You must repent of your sins as a Christian. Now, before you get saved, you're all the sins that you built up. When you come to Christ, He washes all those sins away. But when He washes those sins away, now then, you need to get rid of any sin you commit after that. So the secret would be not to sin after you become a Christian. Because if you do not sin, you give no place to the evil one. But if you sin and you break God's law, like so many people in the church today, in fact, there's as many divorces in the church as there is in the world, and how sad it is, because we obviously don't know the blessings and the curses. If we did, every man that has a wife that's a Christian would treat her like Christ treated his bride, and so like he treats us with what he did for us, and you would be an entirely different human being. But most men don't believe these things. Even when you tell them, they don't believe them. So all I can do is tell you what God says. But if where the sin remains, the curse remains. Now I want to read you in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Think about what God is saying He's going to do there. However, through repentance, new blessings will come. Because listen, in verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, a very well-known chapter. We read it, but we don't believe it. If my people, that's talking about God's people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and then will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now then, folks, let me tell you, demons have inroads where sin remains. A curse can only end when the sin behind it is confessed and forsaken and God's forgiveness obtained. We'll take up there tomorrow. I'd like to invite you to call me, 940-242-2106 for audio and video tapes. Also, like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Every Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4. We are located at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Now, church starts at 2 p.m. every Sunday. The Healing School starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month. We teach you how to walk in divine health in the Healing School, but we only have it once a month, and it's the second Saturday of every month, and it starts at 1 p.m. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.